Hey everyone, welcome back to Legal Latitudes. Today's episode is a little different, and I'm really excited about it. Instead of me asking the questions, I'm gonna actually sit down with Amelia Brumel, who will join us, and we will get into different topics. She will interview me, and we will talk about brain injury cases, to a brief story about how I became a lawyer and why I like so much doing what I do. This will be a shorter bonus episode, but I think you'll enjoy the switch up. So let's dive in.
And we're here today. We took some time out to, you know, chat with you about traumatic brain injuries and how we go about those cases in general, I guess, was what we're looking for. And really getting from the attorney's perspective, how you go about treating your clients with brain injury.
Yeah, so I think there are different approaches that certain lawyers take. Some lawyers like to involve neuropsychologists very early, mm-hmm. just to have an intake and a proper intake to really see if there is a TBI, because the most challenging ones are those mild TBI cases.
Correct.
Where the person suffered a concussion, but maybe they didn't lose consciousness, or they were just dazed, but they hit their brain, or not even hitting their brain, but suffering what's called the whiplash.
Correct.
Because our brain has this like liquid inside, right? And it moves. So if you have a very violent hit, like a rear-end collision, or you trip and fall, even though you're not hitting your head to the ground, the brain inside the skull moves.
Yeah.
And sometimes these mild TBI cases are very challenging, and to make the intake and go about them, you need an expert to take a look at them.
100%.
So when I started working in this industry, I would go straight to a neurologist and have the neurologist do the assessment, mm-hmm. and then have the imaging, MRI, VNG, EEG. But now I've noticed that certain lawyers like to have a neuropsychologist and have the neuropsychologist assess the first, you know, days, the first weeks, the first months after an injury.
Right.
And then also what I like to do is to talk to the client and talk to the family, because the client may think that everything is fine, but the significant other, the relatives, you know, the daughter, mm-hmm. son, they know that something changed. There was mm-hmm. a before and after in terms of how that person is. So it's really on a case-to-case basis. But as a policy, I like to talk to the client first, mm-hmm. talk to the circle that surrounds the client. Mm-hmm. And then if there is any indicia, any symptom that tells you there could be a traumatic brain injury, I like that client to see a proper expert to tell me, okay, this is actually a TBI case or not.
Looking for dedicated legal support? Contact Lathrop Law Firm at 760-723-9612 or check out www.lathroplawfirm.com.
Yeah, that's really good, because most people just don't know where to start, right. Really. You know, these people do look normal, and you can't necessarily always trust what your client is telling you is real, right?
Right.
And so it is best, in my circumstances of what I've seen on helping other attorneys, is when they do talk to the family and the lay people around them, the lay witnesses, it really adds so much credibility to their story and their injury. And when other people can speak for them, it definitely makes a difference. So good job on doing that. You know, most, you know, are in fear of, if you will, to get closer to their clients. But I think that's a huge thing, to be able to show them that you are invested, you do care, and that you're doing that for them. So that's amazing. And yes, I agree that documenting these symptoms earlier on, mm-hmm. and the closest to that date of accident is best, because if it's not getting documented, it kind of looks like you're trying to throw something out of nowhere, right?
Right.
And into it. But yes, it's
so key. So when a client of mine comes to my office with an injury, I try to go over all the symptoms that the client is experiencing. Mm-hmm. And most, if not all of the times, when they suffer a brain injury, when these cases are mild, mm-hmm. because a severe traumatic brain injury, you know, you lose consciousness. Yeah, you know,
those are the easy ones, if you will.
Right. although the client is passing through a very hard time, sure. but from a litigation perspective, yep. those cases are clear cut, and it's a matter of how much, right? Mm-hmm. And not if the damage exists.
Right.
But when a client comes to you with an injury, with a rear end collision, mm-hmm. a trip and fall case, I like to go over all of the symptoms that the client is experiencing, mm-hmm. and I have a list, you know, that cover the TBI
right.
symptoms, and I check each one of the symptoms that the client is experiencing, and sometimes those symptoms go away
sure.
after a couple of weeks, a month.
Yep.
But sometimes they don't.
Yep.
And sometimes they even present weeks or months after the
sure,
accident.
Sure, exactly.
Because the brain is so complex. Mm-hmm. And you need, I personally think that an attorney that misses to address a TBI case, it's committing malpractice.
Right.
You need to really make sure that your client is not forgiving the other side from claiming damages when they are experiencing a TBI. Because I call them a silent type of injury.
It
you
is
know?
A silent
it messes
injury.
With
it's
your
an
soul.
Invisible injury.
Right.
Yeah, it messes with your soul. I like to, you know, absolutely, that's exactly what it's doing. Spirit is broken, right?
Right.
When anytime you're in any kind of injury like that, right? You're going to go through some stress. You're going to go through some kind of you know, frequency, vibration, difference, right? And then you're in that negative field. So how do we get these people well again? And that starts with the brain. And if
right.
your brain is off in those thoughts already,
yeah.
now you track on an injury to it. Now you're only getting it more complex, right? So, and these injuries, like you said, show up later. And, you know, that acute phase is different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it's still 6 months out and these people are still complaining of, you know, not being able to remember, or their behavior is still off, or it could be this tiniest things that even their motor skills are just not there as what it was before, or, you know, their job is different now. They can't intake as well as they did before.
Right.
You know, just different things that you wouldn't otherwise know just by looking at somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is important to document those symptoms early on and continue every month. I tell other, you know, case managers and other people involved in the case to follow up with that client.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, yeah, they're injured and 6 months have gone by, you haven't heard from them. Follow up, because you never know.
Use your experts as
yep.
much as you can. Get in touch with them, because they have so much knowledge that we lawyers that are not educated, you know, in university, medical school, we don't have the amount of knowledge that they have in terms of neurological injuries. So when you're doing a cross-examination of the other side's expert, you need to really work closely with your expert, and this is a neurologist, even the PT who is doing, I don't know,
absolutely,
you see it in vestibular therapy,
yeah.
for example, or the neuropsychologist, if you want to use one.
Mm-hmm.
Some lawyers don't like to use a neuropsychologist.
Right. I'm a big advocate of them, because
mm-hmm.
I've seen how they just do well with,
yeah.
you know, that first step with what you're doing, documenting these symptoms. Okay, now that we know there is somebody that has potential injuries of traumatic brain injury, well, let's get the experts involved. And that's where you get a neurologist or a neuropsych, right? Or, and you also could go even the imaging route first and have a neurologist order that, prescription for an imaging. And so through us, like TBI Analytics, where we offer this advanced neuroimaging and the correct imaging to measure that part of the brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're not just a structured brain image. We are taking a look at the white and gray matter,
right.
and we are looking at every fiber track that is off. And it's going to only highlight if the person is injured. So
mm-hmm.
it's not making anything up. It's AI driven. And now we are dependent on that now. Instead of having to worry about an expert cross-examination and different expert. Now we're talking about quantitative evidence right. that's absolutely backed by AI.
Imaging right now is changing the game. Because you have such an accurate view of what's happening inside mm-hmm. the brain and inside the spine. But when it comes to brain injuries, what I was telling you before, that some lawyers don't like to use neuropsychologists, mm-hmm. It's because imaging is so good now that they think that they don't need a neuropsychologist to tell you this is the injury, you know?
Right.
Now, from a treating perspective, from a patient's perspective, I personally think that it's good to see a neuropsychologist Absolutely. When you suffer a brain injury, because even if you see that the injury is there in terms of the imaging, the neuropsychologist is going to find how this injury is affecting you in the little things.
Exactly.
The brain is so complex, yes. and there are so many areas that it affects. There was this myth where if I hit my head, I'm going to be dumb. I'm going to be, you know, right. I'm not going to be good for numbers anymore. But it's not that.
You just don't know what it's going right. to control.
It could be your sleeping. It could be your anxiety.
Yep.
It could be so much. Your
and
speaking.
Only the only provider out there that can correlate those findings of a brain image is a neuropsychologist.
Right.
Because even a neurologist cannot do that, mm-hmm. right? Unless they have more specialty training on the treatment side of it. But really, it's the neuropsych that really peel those onion layers back
right.
on how were they perfecting or how were they performing before the injury mm-hmm. and now how is it affecting them after.
Right.
And they really can dial it in to,
yeah.
oh, this lobe of the brain is showing injury through the DTI that mm-hmm. we did. Oh, well, that makes sense because their motor skills are off and that's what it's controlling.
Right.
It just goes hand in hand. And when you have both image and correlation
mm-hmm.
and you got the documentation ahead,
right.
It's
even
really
even for the more severe TBI yes. cases. So the way that I like to tell this is, you know, you have a big ship, a boat, and you're in the middle of the ocean, and all of a sudden your boat sinks,
mm-hmm.
and you're in the middle of the ocean when you suffer this big injury. Mm-hmm. The first months, you want to make it to the shore, right? But
yes.
once you're in the shore, and you're standing on your feet,
right.
there are more things happening. So that's when you start using these experts that work a little bit more in detail.
And fine
you know?
Tune it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And to really discover what is this person needing as far as treatment goes.
Mm-hmm.
Is it neurocognitive? Is it behavioral? Is it,
right.
you know, motor skills that needs to be, you know, trained again?
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't really know that unless you're really spending a full evaluation with this person
yeah.
and dialing in what's how are they doing on a daily day.
Mm-hmm.
day-to-day basis. So
yeah. And yeah. the other side, what they do is trying, we call it the octopus defense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They just throw ink
anything
and try to
yeah.
tell you that this was caused by any other thing. And
yeah.
while it's true that some mental issues may come from other things,
sure.
because it's not a black and white situation, you know. Someone had a bad childhood,
oh,
and
sure.
that
they could already have
know,
mental
developed.
Issues going
right.
on.
But that doesn't mean that the incident didn't cause
yeah
a change
that.
In their life, and that change doesn't have value.
Right.
So it
actually only exasperated it
right.
most likely, and it's
yeah.
even worse, like an eggshell
right.
type
yeah,
of injury.
Basically, that's the situation, and
exactly.
thankfully the law protects, you know, someone in this situation, making
yeah.
those people more susceptible, and you're entitled to be taken to the situation you were, like the status, the position you
exactly.
were before the injury. And I like to call it like when you see a window that is cracked and someone comes and breaks it,
mm-hmm.
they need to pay the window because
right.
the window crack was able to work.
Sure.
Right? With that crack, little
yeah,
crack.
It was fine.
But when someone breaks it, Maybe that same hit that broke the window wouldn't have broke the window if it wasn't for the crack.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, the crack is there.
Yeah.
And that hit
makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's really good. And
looking for dedicated legal support? Contact Lathrop Law Firm at 760-723-9612 or check out www.lathroplawfirm.com.
I was going to say, with these people, if we can get them the treatment while they're in our, in a sense, care, mm-hmm. right, then that's the best thing we can do for them. I know not every case warrants the ability to do that, right. but when you do have that, it really helps these people get on the right track, because mm-hmm. if you don't take care of them, you know, early enough, it could lead into a worse injury. And so the analogy I use is the cancer. If you don't treat the cancer, it's just going to get worse.
It gets worse.
And that's how these people are when they're walking around saying you're normal mm-hmm. and you're not. Right. It's leading them down a depression road or an anxiety-driven road or mm-hmm. whatever, right? And then it just goes into many different other spiral things. But that's what's the beauty about having these advanced now neuroimaging, and it's changing the game, because now whatever octopus arm they throw at us, right, we can say, nope, we did that technique. We did that sequence of a brain MRI that shows if its person is, if this injury is due to Alzheimer's or something neurodegenerative, we can see that in the imaging that we're doing mm-hmm. all in one shot, right? We don't have to go back and test this person again for this sequence. We don't have to send them back on an MRI for this sequence. We can do it all in one, so that when that image spits out, there's no other differential diagnosis that you're going to need in order to determine if this person has a mild traumatic brain injury, because we're using all the sequences in one.
Yeah, what I can say is that technology is definitely helping the patients, the plaintiff lawyers, yeah. to advocate on behalf of their clients and really find the root issue of why they are dealing with all of these things. And when it comes to showing or exposing the case, you know, in yeah. front of a jury, when you it's not you who is telling the jury, it's not your expert or the treating doctor who's telling the jury or the relatives, but it's objective evidence, and you're able to contrast and compare the objective evidence you have there with the clinical findings that mm-hmm. these experts are giving. That's basically you're telling the jury, this is how the case is, right. you know, and you don't need anything else, because you have the imaging, which is objective, it's a machine, you're not manipulating it,
right.
And then you have the clinical correlation and the science behind. And when it comes to the science, now with all of this AI, you know, mm-hmm. all of these pages that help you find the articles, find the science that supports mm-hmm. your position.
And the research for all right. the normative databases yeah. that are out there that we can compare these people to.
Right.
You know, actually, and gender, age, mm-hmm. and matched, right? So we can actually have solid evidence that shows these people are not normal
right.
anymore. And it's really, you know, we're at that precipice now that we can utilize AI in the best way mm-hmm. for these people to get the treatment they need.
Yeah.
It's really a neat time to be, you know, trying cases right now.
Yeah.
And it's also the best time to be, you know, helping these people that have, you know, these brain injuries.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised just under, you know, the caseloads that people have that they don't even know that their clients have one, because they don't understand that there are technologies out there that can identify that these people do,
mm-hmm.
or at least supports the case of possible traumatic brain injury, right? The diagnosis of that.
Yeah, so it correlates with I was listening to John Romano.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know him.
Yes.
Yesterday he was speaking about the value of cases and how a case that may seem like it doesn't have any value, when you start digging into looking at it from other perspective, spending time with the client,
yeah,
with the family, you start finding things that you didn't see before. And all of a sudden, a case that could seem very small from the outside, from afar, now when you're close, involved, you're able mm-hmm. to see that it's a huge case that, mm-hmm. that changed the life of this person. And absolutely. You have so many tools to prove that. Of course, nobody wants to exaggerate. And this is something that I tell my clients always when we start, you know, a client-attorney-client relationship. You know, I'm not the attorney that is going to file a frivolous lawsuit.
Right.
I'm going to do what's fair for you, and I'm going to try to maximize what you mm-hmm. actually deserve.
Mm-hmm.
So let's try to find the tools to prove this. And we're going to do it the best way possible. And yeah. nowadays, with all of the science, with AI, that I don't like to say that it's doing the work for us. Mm-hmm. It's helping us to do our work faster.
Absolutely.
Because you need to check, you need to review, you need to always see what AI is giving you. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for any peer review study, they're going to point you to the right peer review studies. Maybe sometimes they will point you to the wrong one, but you save so much time trying to look for this information, and all of a sudden you have it. After a few clicks, you have it right there. All you have to do is read it. Yep. And make sure that that's actually what AI is telling you it is, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just go over it. Quality control, right?
Yeah, yeah. But you have to do the work, because mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard the story of that lawyer in New York.
No, tell me.
So he used ChatGPT to write a motion. I don't know what type of pleading document it was. And he cited a case that didn't exist.
Oh, dear.
And the other attorney, the defendant or plaintiff, told the judge, I tried to find this case and I couldn't find it. And the judge was like, okay, counsel, where did you get this case from? And the attorney told the judge, well, I took it from ChatGPT.
He actually,
and I don't know if he got disbarred, but...
I can't believe he would actually admit that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean... Okay. That's what they call hallucinations, you know?
Yeah.
The AI hallucinates sometimes. So you need to be very careful with how you use it. But it's a tool.
It's a tool. And
human beings are still useful, you know?
Right. Yes, absolutely. So. We're actually, you know, we got the emotion side to it that we can convey. So that helps. And definitely. I think... Well, from what I've seen and what I'm working with out there, it sounds like you're doing a really good job for your clients. I appreciate what you're doing out there. And I know you are a hard worker, one of the hardest that I've seen.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
I appreciate that.
And and if you could, tell us your story real quick on how did you why did you want to become a lawyer? And tell us where you came from. And
I'll try to tell it as quick as possible, because it's a long story.
It's a long story. Yeah. Okay, the cliff.
I didn't know I wanted to be a lawyer. I was always good writing, you know, reading. I like reading books. Mm-hmm. But I thought I was going to do something more like related to music and journalism, or maybe like literature. I was very enchanted about the literary, you know, aesthetics, mm-hmm. that type of things.
Yeah.
But I am also addicted to extreme sports all my life. I grew up being a snowboarder.
Okay.
I live close to the mountains, and the adrenaline.
Yes, adrenaline rush. You're an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah. So I started down in Chile. I went to college. And over there, you just go straight to your major. You know, whatever you're going to, your profession, that's what you do. You go straight. So you go to med school right away out of high school. But in that case, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I went to something like the undergrad here, you know, the bachelor's mm-hmm. degree mm-hmm. in human sciences. And I had my first law class. Mm-hmm. And it was a law class where you had to perform standing in front of the whole class. Mm-hmm. And I love that adrenaline, you know, of being there, standing and learning something and having to perform in front of the judge. And that was like,
that's an adrenaline rush.
Felt fulfilling to mm-hmm. me. And then the things that I was learning, I could use them right away. So mm-hmm. I'm gonna start doing this, you know. And I finished law school in Chile. I became a lawyer, worked for several years down there.
Wow.
And then I came to the U.S., which was in the back of my head because I'm dual citizen. Mm-hmm. And I went to UCLA and then I passed the bar.
Wow.
And then I became an attorney and I started working in PI. So from being a real estate lawyer down there, I had a little period working representing victims of domestic violence. Mm. More than representing, I was making sure we were working for the government. Mm-hmm. And we were making sure that these temporary restraining orders that were dictated by the courts mm-hmm. were actually complied with.
Wow.
So we were doing some phone calling, you know, to the victims, and we were also doing some visits. And during that time, I had this motorbike, And one of the attorneys of my group also had a motorbike. So we would go all over Santiago, getting into these like very bad neighborhoods, mm-hmm. Visiting these victims of domestic violence. That when I look back, I think to myself, how did I do this? Because I could have gotten in a lot of trouble there.
Sure.
You know,
it's like they could have
shot me. You know, you're coming to my house to check if I'm with my wife or with my girlfriend. You know, I was doing that.
Wow.
And it felt so good to get the feedback from all of these victims, mm-hmm. Feeling grateful about what we were doing. Mm-hmm. But over there, what the Americans, the U.S. has, doesn't exist really. You know, what we do to help people, you can't do that.
They don't have
down there.
Yeah.
People don't have access to justice. They don't have attorney fees there, you know.
Right.
There are so many things here that you can do and you still can make a living out of, whereas now forever in Chile you just can't.
No.
If you represent just people, you would need to represent thousands and thousands of people, and you have to charge them by the hour, or you know, and you don't feel good charging someone that doesn't have the money to pay for your services. It may be a little bit like
it's
criminal
difficult.
Defense
yeah.
type of work
sure.
here, you know?
Yeah.
So then I moved to the US and I started working in PI with my old boss, the first law firm I worked for, and I fell in love with being a trial lawyer, being a plaintiff lawyer, dealing with people, being able to help and get yourself in court. And all of a sudden, the attorneys that I saw only in the movies, that was me.
Yeah.
And it felt awesome. It felt fascinating. So,
looking for dedicated legal support? Contact Lathrop Law Firm at 760-723-9612 or check out www.lathroplawfirm.com.
That.
Then I opened my own firm, and here I am in my second year with my own firm. I got my first cases the first year. So since we work on a contingency, it's hard because you don't see money until the case settles or until you get a verdict, a decision.
Right.
But once a few cases start settling, then the machine starts moving and you have to just trust in yourself and do it. So, things have been working great, and I never stop learning and doing things, it's been great.
Yeah, you're doing awesome. I see you at all these conferences, always learning. There's always learning to be learned, right?
Right.
There is never an end to that. So, well, it was wonderful talking with you today. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you so much.
Such a good time with you.
Likewise. Thank you, Amelia.
You're welcome.
So much.